Thoughts.
Timu.
Ideas.
Guantanamo.
People.
Too much Sarah Lee.
Caravan maintenance.
Way too much Sarah Lee.
Trundle beds.
Bloody, they're not practical.
What's that plastic thing doing down there?
Shut up, Renee.
Shut up, Renee.
Renee.
Quiche.
I'm back.
Niche.
Dad's back.
Niche's quiche.
All right, here we go. Let's do this.
Here's Sam Simmons.
All right. Hey, I'm back. Back and alive. Feeling good. I know I'm good because small things are annoying me again, which is great. So it's nice to be back, and I hope you're all good. I've missed ya. Sorry, I've not replied to any emails whatsoever. I haven't even looked. I mean, there might not even be any in there, just from my one guy who loves me very much. Hello, Benjamin. Anyway, I hope you're good. I hope you're doing good. I hope things are all right. I mean, I think, look, I'll be blunt with you. I've definitely been going through a midlife crisis. That's what's been going on. I've been going through a midlife crisis, and I think I've been going through the midlife crisis for a very, very long time. I think maybe 3 or 4 years. But I've only just worked out what it is. And it is because I've been pondering things in life like a 14-year-old. I'm also easily up to 160-plus days of no booze, which is a feat for me. For like, if anybody ever needed to really drink themselves into oblivion, I feel I probably had just cause. So, yeah, it's... I'm really proud of myself, but at the same time, it's quite disappointing because it's, for me, it's become easy and not even in a, the benefits aren't even that good. Like, that's the main thing. I've definitely got some extra money there. That's good. But there's no real, I can't really feel the benefits yet. I seem to be jumping or leaping or frolicking even a little bit better or freer of ease. I've noticed my knees are better, which is one of the benefits of not drinking alcohol I didn't know existed, but I've got better knees and I can leap over things in a little way. But apart from that, I mean, I don't know, I still have the maudlin feeling at the end of the day, just like, oh my God, is this it? I've got to go to bed now. And I've been definitely having anxiety before sleeping, like, oh my God, is this it? But I think that that's part of the midlife crisis. So that's less to do with the alcohol, more to do with the midlife crisis, which I was masking with alcohol, and I'm still a sugar junkie. I'm a cream druggie, if anything. I've been going to a place, a cafe called The Grounds in Alexandria in Sydney, infrequently, but I've been buying this. I don't know what inspired me this one day, because it's normally late at night that I go, oh my God, I need cream. And I thought I was lactose intolerant, so maybe that's not a thing either. I don't know what has happened to me recently, but I'm putting it down to the midlife crisis. And I've been buying this banoffee. It's not a banoffee pie, it's a banoffee cake, and it's extraordinary. I've only bought about 7 to 9 slices over the course of, like, maybe 2 months. That's a lot, though. And then I'll come home and just devour it. I've stopped the Sara Lee cheesecakes. That was my Bridget Jones, recently divorced or broken up with woman period. Don't think that's sexist, by the way. It just feels like a very female thing to come home and eat a whole cheesecake. I'm not being sexist. It just that in my mind, I'm just like, oh my God, what's happened? Am I transitioning? Anyway, that's not to trigger anybody either. But yeah, I've stopped eating whole Sara Lee cheesecakes, which is definitely can only be a good thing. Also, I've lost a lot of weight. And that's the booze, obviously. But it's not like I'm piling it on, going through this sugar and cream period. What's become of my drug of my cake of choice at the moment? There's been quite a bit of banana involvement, which is odd because I've never been. I never will just eat a banana, but banana in a cake. There's a banoffee pie flavor that's just come out from Ben and Jerry's. It's not very good, but I have been through 2 tubs. Anyway, something's going on. But yes, I'm back to being annoyed by stuff. So road rage, definitely. I think I read an article this week. Oh, by the way, so I have started. I am trying to revolutionize my life in 100 days. That's been the point of what I'm trying to do, is 100 days of no social media. So I'm off social media, but I will be contributing to social media. More on that soon. I've got some good thoughts. But anyway, 100 days of not doing that. And that's kind of like changing my life and getting into patterns of writing every day, which I am slowly doing and feeling quite good about. Because I do have a book invite. It's not a book deal, really. But if I hand over the right little thing to this publisher, they'll go, hey, we'd like you to write this book. And then I imagine there will be money and a commission. I imagine nothing big. I've been warned that's been mentioned to me by my manager, which doesn't sound very hopeful at all. But they've said, look, you know, it won't be a big commission, but maybe you'll get one. Maybe. So there's a big maybe on that. So yeah, I'm trying to get myself back into the habit of writing. Also getting inspired to write something quite great in a live sense as well. Bigger in scope than the show I'm doing at the moment. But the show I'm doing at the moment is really, really fun. So hopefully... yeah, lots of different things. Thinking about doing the move to the UK. Anyway, look, I'm waffling on. I'm waffling on because I'm excited. I think my groove is back, which is a good thing. So there's, anyway, I hope you're good. I've been back into the spate of being myself again. I've started the day, when I say no social media and stuff, I'm still getting news, but I'm not listening to a lot of news or reading news sites. So I'm not reading... any Fairfax, which is The Age, Sydney Morning Herald. If you're outside of the country, I guess that's kind of like your, what would that be? You kind of like a very, 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 very distant cousin of the New York Times kind of vibe, or The Guardian. It's kind of like, yeah, but not at the same time. I don't read The Guardian either. Mainly... because the Australian version of the Guardian's appalling, and I think it's just a few millennials in a room. A lot of millennial hate around, which I'm really enjoying as a Gen Xer. I always thought you guys were annoying, and it's definitely, you've proven it. You guys, the reason why you're so angry at boomers, I've realised, and I realised I was angry at boomers, but I was getting caught up in the whole millennial thing. But the boomers and millennials are the same people, pretty much. They're just kind of like a little bit opposite of each other. But yeah, just the whole thing culturally, the woke movement, it's really, really been interesting to watch, especially standing back from social media and the echo chamber, how fucking annoying you guys are. In a good way as well. Like, it's great. You guys are, you know, progressive and want change. You want it very, very quickly. And if people don't agree with you, God, they're wrong. And it's not like I'm even leaning anywhere near the right. But I do look at them and think, ah, okay, you're right. You're reacting to the millennials. Now I get it. Because they're annoying. Yeah, so I have been... look, there's some aspects of news that I've had there. So I have BBC, the BBC World Service going. And I like that. Even though it repeats itself a lot. And I do hear a lot of stuff I'm not really that interested in. But happy to hear, like, you know, about farming in Uganda and, I guess, trans issues in Jamaica, stuff like that, which is fascinating to hear. So that's been a really good thing for me. In fact, I would recommend it if you're caught in a news cycle of the same, that, I don't know, the BBC's a propaganda machine or some shit that people say as well, but I've quite enjoyed it. It feels like I'm on holiday, especially if I put it on the TV as well. In the mornings, and I get the BBC News. It just feels like, oh, I'm on holiday. I'm BBC News. Speaking of the BBC and all things UK, look, potentially big news, but my partner and I have been thinking about making the move to the UK, especially for her career and my career as well, because I used to have quite an amazing career over there, which stopped because of COVID. But we're thinking about making the move back for a bit, at least a year, which is exciting. So I'm kind of excited about the thought of that, maybe at the end of this year, but really looking into it, which is, I'm kind of pumped. But yes, it's good to be back. I feel like I am back. Little things are starting. I do feel like the midlife crisis, I think, it is a proper full-blown midlife crisis. Like, it's not a fear of death, but it's a fear of what I have achieved, which I feel I achieved a lot of good stuff in my life. But gee, there's not much room left to make more change, but I still can at the same time before you get to that ageist point of being irrelevant, which just happens to old people. People don't listen to old people in the end. Except if you are right rank, good luck millennials. Fuck you, you guys are not going to cope with middle age. I can tell you that, not at all. In your weird social media echo chamber, the fact that no one's going to be listening to you after, I don't know, 60 plus. Good luck. Good luck, you millennials. I'm not anti-millennial. I've got some amazing millennial friends. In fact, I'm emceeing a millennial wedding coming up in June. And they're very unmillennial, which I'm making generalizations right now about millennials. But you are boomers. Just deal with it. You are the new boomers. Or you always were. You're boomers in disguise. And now suddenly you're getting off your angry horse at social injustice because you're realizing that life's hard. You fuck faces. God damn, they've really annoyed me. This will annoy you more, millennials. I've really been getting into Temu, which I know is, I think that's a socially relevant thing, which it's an app where you buy things very, very cheaply, like useless shit you do not need, like sinus massages, which is basically just doing that, like getting your fingers between your eyes and rubbing them. Instead, you can buy something for 15 cents to do it for you, which is ridiculous stuff, but I really enjoy it. And I know it's bad for the environment. I know that there's probably sweatshops. I've been buying a lot of practical joke stuff for my daughter, like fake rubber tongues, which is very fun. You put the fake rubber tongue in, you pull it. We've been playing that prank going to school quite a lot, where she puts a fake rubber tongue inside her mouth, and then it looks like she's poking out her tongue at someone. I'll go, "Hey, Luna, stop poking out your tongue at, you know, Rufus's mum," and then I'll pull the tongue and go, it'll go like stretch like a comedy tongue. Yeah, anyway, it's very, very fun. So thank you, Temu. I wouldn't recommend going on Temu. I know it's not a good thing to go on Temu. It's a waste of money in this capitalist culture. All the shit that millennials get upset about. I sound like a ranting old man talking about the millennials, but I'm just glad that someone pointed it out. A millennial pointed out to me that millennials are annoying, because I always thought they were really annoying, and I know it was a popular thing to talk about whingy millennials. The Zeds seem cool, man. And I think that's maybe because they've got something in common with Gen Xers, which I am. Not only the fact that X, you know, YZ, X, Y, where did the Gen Ys go? Anyway, the Zeds. I think the Ys were the millennials, but the Zeds have owned it, they're Zeds. And the Xers, you know, they've got things in common. So they kind of like, I think they think that the music of my childhood is kind of somehow cool. They're dressing really 90s, like 90s hip-hop. There's something rave culture, all that stuff that I can appreciate. So good on your Zeds. You guys seem good. You guys seem better than the millennials. Fuck you, millennials. anyway, I did read on a site that apparently labyrinths. So back in the olden days, and I don't believe this is really true, but it was on one of the nice news sites that I'm reading, that labyrinths, what's the plural of labyrinth? Labyrinth? Labyrinthi? Labyrinthi? Anyway, labyrinths, hang on a minute, who's that upstairs? That's my part. Is that you, Roz? The labyrinths, by the way, just in case you're wondering what happened then, it's like 5 o'clock in the morning, my partner just walked in upstairs, and I just cannot do... I can't do the podcast with her listening. Oh, now the bloody shower's going. Oh, well, that's life. Anyway, I can't do it when she's there because it just puts me off. It's just like weird things. Like I even find it weird if she comes along to a gig. It's like your mum's there. Anyhow, so apparently labyrinths. Damn it, it's a really... What is the plural of labyrinth? Labyrinths? Labyrinths... were a cure for depression. So you go to a labyrinth or a maze, a hedge maze, and just wander around, and which I understand. Like there is something hypnotic and relaxing about getting, well, not really getting lost, not like properly getting lost when you're a child at the shopping mall. That's quite distressing. Oh, speaking of children's distress, this is going to sound really cruel. Don't judge me on this, but My Luna was dawdling the other day when we were coming home. I shouldn't enjoy this so much. And so she was dawdling coming in, and I let the door close behind me, and she could see me inside just going through the mail, but she was locked outside. And then I just pretended, oh, this sounds really cruel. I don't care. So I'm not cruel like a millennial on social media, just bloody cancelling people willy-nilly, you unempathetic fucks. Anyway, so I left her outside and then pretended to then just turn around and walk in. And last moment of like, Dad, no, Dad! It was like a real proper, oh my God, I've been left outside for the rest of my life. Then I turned around. I was like, no, I'm joking. But her face, it was very, very funny. Very cruel, but very, very funny. But sometimes cruelty's fun. Not in the millennial way, you fucking assholes. Anyway, why am I so anti-millennial at the moment? So apparently labyrinths. That'll be the new thing, though, now, because I've read that people are going to start building... It'll be millennials building labyrinths. No, not millennials. It'll be Zeds building labyrinths for adults to walk around. Like financiers to get, oh, you're stressed, go to the labyrinth and you walk around and get lost for a while. But there is something nice about that when you go to a new city, especially back years ago before you would get roaming on your phone or you wouldn't buy roaming on your phone and you download a map to your phone and you just have to kind of like stick to that because the map would still work when you're out in the street, even without roaming. I know that sounds impossible, but it's true. Or even back in the old days using a map, or no map, and just wandering around a city. Somewhere amazing, like the souks of Morocco. The souks of Marrakesh in Morocco, which I've done before. Amazing fun getting lost. Really fun. So I can understand why labyrinths are actually good. Maybe we should ban map apps in phones and we'll all feel happier. Anyway, so hey, labyrinths are back. God damn it, what is the plural of that? What else has been going on? BBC curing depression. Yes, right. Well, this is my thought about having the midlife crisis and feeling like I'm 14 again because I'm overthinking. Just overthinking. Like the existence of life in such ways. Like yesterday I was sitting in a cafe waiting for a doctor's appointment. Nothing's really wrong. Just needed to get a new prescription of me anti-anxiety medication. I was just sitting there and I was, it was a lovely cafe, by the way. It was called Buttercrumb, I think it was, or something like that. But it was a croissant cafe and I had a wonderful almond croissant. Very, very good one. Of course, Sweet Tooth is back. So fatty. I'm not fat though. That's the thing. I'm not a fatty. I'm a little bit fat, but I'm not fat like I was when I was drinking. So I can have an almond croissant. So I was sitting there having an almond croissant, but then having a lovely moment, doing some writing. But then I looked at the wall immediately next to me and there was a smudge on it. And that made me think about the darkness of life and the minutiae of just what the fuck is this life we're in. The smudge on a wall triggered me so much because that's been the thing with my midlife crisis. What is this existence? What am I doing and why are fonts annoying me? Why when I drive down the street and I see a Chemist Warehouse and what it looks like, why is that so offensive to me? And I think it does tie into something about the spiritual nature of what we used to be as primal beings and animals. And when you look at an Indigenous existence or an Aboriginal existence in Australia, and you think about if you were just sitting in the desert or just sitting in the bush, living your life and what your downtime is there. So you've hunted and gathered. And I'm not diminishing the Indigenous experience of Aboriginal Australia. I'm just saying in a basic way of being a human, in any part of it, you've had a feed, you've eaten, you're hungry, you're sated. Is that it? Is sated a thing? Satiated? I don't know. It's early. You've eaten your stuff. You've eaten. You're just sitting there, you're in the desert, you're in the shade. I'm saying the desert because that's where I picture myself being happy after I've eaten, okay? If I was living a basic existence, an Indigenous existence. I've eaten, I've got some friends around me. We're not really chatting, we're just sitting there, just out of the sun, in the shade, full tummy. And you just sit with that. You just sit with that feeling. That's the point. Isn't that the point of the existence of who we are? Instead of driving down the road and seeing a Chemist Warehouse font. Their existence, in a way, or that existence, isn't that a better state of being, but and not scrolling through a phone, but just sitting there thinking, oh yeah, I'm happy now. I've just eaten my kangaroo or whatever it is, or my yam, whatever it is, and now I'm just sitting back and thinking, just, you know, running a stick through the sand, just making a pattern, thinking I'm happy in this moment, just in that moment, which is a very, that's what they say, isn't it? To live in the moment. That's how I stave off a lot of my depressive moments at the moment, is to be in the moment. They say that. I think that's a very Buddhist thing. I always thought I was meditating. Sorry, not meditating, but I think I've always been meditating when I have those quiet moments to myself. But just sitting in that moment, looking at right what's in front of me, which is very hard when you're driving down the street at 80 kilometres an hour and you see a Chemist Warehouse. Are you on my wavelength here, people? Do you understand what I'm trying to say here? This, I mean, it just doesn't seem right, does it? But I think that's part of my midlife crisis, and I need to accept it. Accept the Chemist Warehouse font. If you don't know what I'm talking about, look up the Chemist Warehouse font if you're out of Australia and overseas. It's obnoxious. The primary colours of it just really just barks at you. Here I am. Anyway, this is probably a really good time to take a break. I'll play something joyous from my my past catalogue. Anyway, I'll be back with you in a second. All right.
Kitchen Secrets.
Why not jazz up your next meal by hiding little plastic army men inside your mashed potato? I choked on a rifle, man. It felt pointy.
Kitchen Secrets.
Human Truffle. It's issues with young people.
I'm in new media.
Human Truffle. It's news, but not now yet. Human Truffle.
I can do anything because I'm an overprivileged 19-year-old and my dad's a barrister.
Human Truffle. Human Truffle. Wednesday nights, 9 p.m. on ABC One.
So I'm starting a parenting course next week. It seems very hippie and weird. It was it's offered to me free through my little girl's school. So I'm looking forward to like informing you as to what that is, because it could be quite a load of rubbish. And it's about dealing with my emotions and parenting and expectations, because my God, she's doing so well at school. I'm so proud of her. Out of nowhere, oh, this was so cute. What happened yesterday? And I must have maybe foreseen what was going to go on yesterday. Because yesterday I thought to myself, okay, so I'll take this back. I found purple cauliflower at the supermarket. And I thought, that's fun. Luna's going to love purple cauliflower because she's really good with her vegetables. She gets really excited. Not even excited, she just eats them. She's great with her food. And I saw the purple cauliflower, and I know there's purple carrots. So I bought the purple cauliflower, and then the next day I went back, and I was like, all right, I'm going to make her a purple dinner. I thought that's a really, really cute thing to do. So I bought purple carrots. I stopped in at this weird, cute, very trendy Filipino bakery called Tito, I think it is. And just stopped in there, just on the off chance of what was going on. Had a very yummy thing to eat, by the way. But bought her a purple Lamington, which was some weird purple Filipino flavour thing. So I brought her a purple Lamington. She had the purple carrots, the purple cauliflower. She loves her salmon, so I got a bit of salmon. And what I did was I had some leftover beetroot that I'd roasted in the oven from a few days before. So I blended that down and smeared that on the salmon and roasted it. Like a very fancy meal for a little girl. I made mashed potato, put some of the beetroot in that, which turned an amazing pinky purple. And it was really cute what I did for her. Really cute. And I even bought, like, she doesn't normally have sweet drinks, but I bought her a little apple and blackcurrant juice so it could look like I was pouring her a glass of red wine. The funniest thing about this was that afternoon, her teacher came up to me out of the blue, and I'm not really, like, we've not really, I guess, bonded yet, or I've kind of just left him to be. He's looking after my little girl, and I trust what he's doing, but he came up to me out of the blue and just told me how well she's doing. And the thing that really got me about this is we had a worry with Luna that she was being easily frustrated by things that she found difficult. So little tasks at school and whatnot. about, say, whatever it is, like reading or writing or math, and she'd get frustrated and just give up, especially if I was involved trying to talk to her about this stuff. And he mentioned to me about how proud he is of her at the moment because she's really tenacious and will sit and really try to figure out a problem. And I was just like, oh my God, that is the best news you can hear as a parent. Maybe she's not a genius, but she wants to be one and she's trying really hard. And that's the battle. That's half the battle gone, I guess, with learning and a kid. And it was just the greatest feeling. And strangely, I'd already had this purple meal plan. So we had this wonderful night last night because my partner Rosie's working late at the moment. She's got a big job, and so she's coming home late. So it's just me and Luna a lot. And I made her this purple meal, and she loved it. And it was really exciting. And she had the Lamington. She didn't eat all of it because she's not a little greedy girl. Ah! Anyway, it was a beautiful moment. So little Luna had her little bloody purple meal, and it was really. I don't know where I was going with this, but it was just wonderful. Speaking of school stuff, that's right. I'm doing the good parenting course. I mean, that's a good parent. You're making purple meals. That's a bloody wonderful parent, I think. But yeah, I'm going to be learning about how to deal with my emotions, not to put my big expectations on her. So I'll check in with you next week and tell you if that's a load of rubbish or it's a really wonderful thing. And I'll pass on those things to you, which I imagine will, like, you know, extend to greater life as well. Not if you've got a kid or you don't have a kid. I'm just going to share this stuff with you. Because I'm honest, guys. I'm honest. I've shared with you on this potty my depressive journey. You've been through my midlife crisis with me. So I'll share this with you as well. Got to say, the school's changing. So the school I go to is, I'm in the inner west of Sydney, which is kind of like a, I guess, you know, a hipstery kind of lower socioeconomic, mid-economic bracket of living. But what I've noticed, I guess, with the housing crisis and cost of living, the new year that's come in, oh, geez, it's the money's in, and they're probably, you know what? The millennials are here. So anyway, the millennials, doesn't matter. I know there's millennials in my year as well, but not so much. A lot of older parents, but yeah. Anyway, they're in, and they're very judgmental. I get a lot of looks. I know everyone's paranoid. You know, no one likes men at the moment. I understand that because of what's going on at the moment is there's a lot of stuff about women are being murdered at a really extraordinarily high rate at the moment in Australia, which is, I've got to say, I'm cross about because that's a bad thing. Obviously, it's a bad thing. But I think the levels are not, it's been exaggerated by the media, but it doesn't matter. Women are being murdered, but also men are murdering other men. Basically, men are murdering, which is no one likes that. Murdering's happening, basically, and the majority of the time, I think probably 99%. I don't know, don't go at me on the percentages, but yeah, men commit most of the murders. So there's a lot of, there's a big campaign at the moment about men. Men not good, basically. If I was to summarise, men not good. Men be bad, men no good, don't talk to men. And I think I know there's something on social media. I've not seen it, but I know there's a thing called man or bear, where what would you rather? Would you like rather hang out with a bear or a man? And everyone's saying, I'd rather hang out with a bear, which is ridiculous. If you've ever seen the film Grizzly Man, you don't want to hang out with a bear. Teddy bear? Yes. Not a grizzly bear? No. That's the worst way of dying. I've spoken about this before, but bear death is way worse than man death, I imagine. Just saying it, bears just eat you. Like, and they don't even like lions and stuff. Shark, pretty much dead quick. You know what I mean? It will take you in the shock. You're underwater, you're drowned. Crocodile, drowned underwater. Lion, go for the jugular. They'll take you by the neck and suffocate you. Bear don't do that. Bear just eat you. Bear just start eating you. They'll put their paw on your, pardon me, they'll force you to the ground and just start eating you. So they start just ripping into your back, just eating your back meat. That's bear. Man do bad thing. Anyway, I'm just trying to put this in caveman voice just to speak about man. But anyway, yes. I've noticed a lot of the new mums at the school. If I turn up for a mum activity or a kid activity or a parent activity with kids is what I'm trying to get to. Like after this podcast this morning, I'm heading off to the school for, what's it called? Mothers and Loved Ones Craft Day. I'm off to Mothers and Loved Ones. I'm one of the volunteers for that because they needed volunteers. I just happened to be a man. But I know that I'm going to get some weird looks from some of the young mums that are there. Some of the young millennial mums will be upset. Oh, what are you doing here for mothers and loved ones? Well, not enough mums signed up. I'm here to help. So I'll be there for Mothers and Loved Ones Craft Day, which I didn't understand what was involved. But apparently what we're doing is we're pouring coloured sand with the kids into bottles with rose petals, which, if anything, sounds sexist to me. It's not no mum wants that. But anyway, that's what they've decided on. You know, when you're a mum and you're like, oh, I'd really love a bottle of multicoloured sand with some potpourri in it. Sexist, if anything. I think mum wants an iPad or an iWatch. Is it an iWatch? So I'm off to Mothers and Loved Ones Craft Day, which I'm kind of looking forward to. I'm looking forward to it in the fact that some of these young mums like, what are you doing here? And I'm just like, no, I've been here already for a year. What are you doing here? Off to Mothers and Loved Ones Craft Day. Or maybe they'd like it to a bear to be there instead. All right. God damn it, I think I'm back now. Did you hear that? That was the part of the podcast just then where you're like, oh, Sam's back. Yeah, I am back. I'm back. I'm sure my midlife crisis is going to continue, by the way. So, you know, look forward to that. I'm just not as listless as I once was. Listless. I'm still living my life by lists, but I'm not as listless about life. I'm back. Anyway, had a lovely lunch on the weekend as well. We had a family boozy lunch. It's so nice being alcohol-free doing these things. So we went off to a lovely lunch. I don't know why the lunch was... Oh, that's right, for my brother-in-law's birthday, who told me something very funny, which I'm a bit worried about sharing on the podcast, but I'm gonna. But I bet you as soon as I start talking about it, my partner's going to walk in above me and she'll hear me talking about it. So I'm just going to get to it really quickly. So he was recently in Japan with his partner. And yeah, I love them. They're beautiful people, but they're new parents. And the mum, she's pretty, look, I will say a little bit paranoid about stuff. Like when we were in Los Angeles a long, long time ago, and she was very worried about Mexican gangs, which sounds a little bit racist, but not really, because she's got one of her best friends is Mexican. But she was worried about gang culture, which is not, but specifically she did say Mexican gangs. But anyway, which does make sense, because I know that those guys, the Australian surfers, were murdered in Mexico recently. But anyway, we weren't in Mexico. This was a few years ago, but she was very, very worried about Mexican gangs. And I was like, all right, that makes sense. But now she's got a kid, she's a little bit more worried about stuff. And they recently went to Japan, and she got really paranoid about getting into, going into buildings that went up, which is really hard when you're in Tokyo, because most of the, like, it's, you know, it's a skyscraper city, and there's a lot of fun stuff is up. And my brother-in-law, she wasn't there, but my brother-in-law was there. He explained to me that they weren't allowed to go up because of earthquakes, because she was really worried. It's so funny. And I probably shouldn't share this on the podcast, but I think she would, I'm pretty sure she would laugh at this. She wouldn't listen to the podcast and he wouldn't listen to the podcast. So I feel like I probably can share it with you. Probably wouldn't share this bit on social media. But yeah, a lot of fear of going up because she's got a new baby and she was worried about earthquakes. She was saying that her explanation for this is Tokyo's due for a big earthquake. I don't know whether it is or not. Maybe it is. But didn't want to be in any skyscrapers just in case there was an earthquake. So my brother-in-law wasn't allowed to go up. Which is so funny. So he spent a lot of time in Tokyo not going up, probably looking at buildings, thinking, oh, I wonder what's up there. But he never knew because he wasn't allowed to go up because she was paranoid about earthquakes, which is just one of the funniest things I've heard in ages. But I get it. She's a new mum. And it's those early days with the new baby. I mean, if the baby was 14 years old, then, you know, go up and get over it. But she's got an infant and they're, you know, on holiday and just a bit paranoid about going up because of the earthquakes, which, so, you know, make of that what you will. When Luna was a little baby, at the same age, we took her to Vietnam, and I remember, like, old Vietnamese ladies would just take her. They'd just be like, oh, look, baby. Didn't do any accent there, by the way, didn't do any racist accent, but they'd come up and they'd want to play with Luna, and they'd take her, and sometimes she'd go missing. And we'd be, like, sitting there eating a lovely Vietnamese meal, and we'd be like, where's Luna? And there would be moments of paranoia, like, oh, my God, our baby's gone. But, and yeah, we did go to Tokyo. We went up. But yeah, I understand. I do understand the paranoia. But I just feel for my brother-in-law, who went to Tokyo and wasn't allowed to go up. No elevators. Maybe escalators were okay, but maybe not. It's just funny. It's funny. Also made a really, god damn it, do you know what's good? Just doing some old-fashioned food again. Cauliflower cheese. So I made an amazing cauliflower cheese. Last Friday night, as a celebration, I've been doing work, by the way. Real man work. So, you know, because my life's odd, I do live shows and, you know, I have a trickle of money that comes in off Patreon. I don't make a lot of money at all. So I do need to work. So I've been working for my partner in the film industry, doing hard manual work, like a bloody hard yakka man, lifting like cyclone fencing and stuff like that. We were celebrating last Friday night, so I've got a really cool cheese place near us, which sounds very decadent indeed, very millennial, if you will, where I bought a cheese board. Not the board, it's just a cardboard box full of different cheeses, and we love cheeses. I didn't think I'd love cheeses as much with no wine, so being a non-drinker now, but really enjoyed the cheese board. So it's basically a cheese box, so it's like a shoe box full of cheese, and crackers and fruits and all the stuff that if you were to buy that individually, it would cost you way too much money. But if you buy the cheese box, it's actually really quite cheap, quite economical, and a meal. It was dinner on Friday night. But we had a lot of one cheese left, which was like a red cheese, like a Leicester, I think you'd put it. I hope that noise isn't annoying. It's my partner having a shower upstairs. Or I don't know what she's doing up there. Anyway, if you can hear that, it's probably just in my own mind. Yeah, there was a lot of that cheese left over. So I decided to pop it in big chunks into a cauliflower cheese, which is a kind of like a bechamel you make. And I put broccoli in there as well. So it was a broccoli and cauliflower cheese and baked that in the oven. You look up the recipe, by the way. I kind of got the basic idea off Recipe Tin Eats, which is very cool, by the way. It's a good site, that one. And made a cauliflower cheese with broccoli. Oh my god, it was divine. It had big chunks of this like red Leicester with blue through it. Oh, extraordinary. I've still got a big hunk of it in the fridge that I can heat up, which I might even do today. If it rains really hard today, it's going to be really rainy. Oh, there's nothing you want more than a bloody cauliflower and broccoli cheese with red Leicester blue cheese in it. So yeah, that was a heartening thing to do. Just when I say heartening, just the effort you put in to make it, and then the reward was really good and warming and delicious. I mean, it's fatty boombar food, but yum. Anyway, and shout out to the Recipe Tin Eats lady. Bloody, she's great. God, I love her food. Oh, I made a shepherd's pie with Luna during the week. I've been so wholesome. I think that's part of the midlife crisis and the mantra of being almost Buddhist and just loving the small thing in front of you. Luna and I made a shepherd's pie together. I even bought a bottle of masala to give it that little kick, which wasn't in the Recipe Tin Eats website, but I remember. I don't know why I remember it, but a little bloody, just a capful of masala as you're cooking away at the trigger warning. Lamb mince, god, extraordinary. And she loved her shepherd's pie, a type of thing she wouldn't normally like because it's got a lot of things. Luna likes her food separate, doesn't like it all in one, but making it with her, which she loved doing, god, that was an event. That was a really good night, actually. I think that was Tuesday night we did that. So, yeah, shout out to shepherds. All you shepherds out there and the pies you eat. It's weird that you're shepherds and you're looking after sheep, bringing in the sheep, but you're also eating them at the same time. But that makes sense, I guess. So shout out to shepherds out there. Shout out to shepherds and Sherpas. Shepherds and Sherpas. You don't get enough recognition in this age. Sherpas, all that carrying all that Patagonia mountain gear up mountains. And to shepherds with the sheep, looking after them to make the woolly products, which would have been probably the first Patagonia top was made of wool. So Sherpas and shepherds do have something in common apart from funny names or funny work names, funny occupations. Strange occupation. There wouldn't be many young shepherds out there. In Nepal, few young Sherpas. Anyway, so the podcast is coming to an end. I'll play one more thing and then I'll tell you another thing. So, listen to this. Hope you enjoy it. And back with you in a sec.
Once upon a time, there lived a boy named Clayton. Clayton was special, not in a retarded way, but more like in a Clayton way. Clayton. But Clayton was no ordinary boy, for he had super magical powers when harnessing the elements of fire, metal, cardboard, and Christmas.
By the power of Christmas!
When then Clayton would turn into the super mecha human robot,
Claytron!
I am Claytron with the most super terrible fantastic fun powers!
In last week's episode...
I love you too.
Oh God, I know.
Claytron and Plastic Roy's heartfelt underwater reunion was cut short as someone pulled the plug out of the ocean.
We'll be swept away!
We're being washed down the drain hole of life!
Plastic Roy, grab onto that matted wreck of cubes stuck to the side of the drain hole!
Hey, watch it, man.
That's no matted wreck of pubes. It seems to be some kind of hairy man guy.
My name's Phil, the jazz hairdresser. I run the barbershop down round the S Bend. We got all kinds of pubes washed down here, and I help to finesse them using the power of improvised jazz. Hold on to my matted mane and climb down my back like baby monkeys. I'll take you down to this jazz hole I know. You can get jobs as salt and vinegar chips.
You give us jobs as what?
A short while later...
Welcome to the S. Bend Jazz Hall.
Wow! This jazz club is shit.
I'm making you jazz.
Hey, hang on. What happened to a Hot Bronwyn, Finger Capes and Ryan Cardigan?
I think you'll find your friends are over there.
They seem to have splintered off into their own impenetrable clique.
That's what happens when you listen to improvised jazz.
Brown, down.
Oh, it does go down.
Hey, guys.
What?
Oh, I was just saying, hey.
Why?
Why?
I don't know.
Next week on Claytron.
Oh, it's worse than I thought. They've got Thelonious Monkhouse Syndrome.
Claytron! Right, so in Sydney at the moment is the Sydney Comedy Festival, which is like a really, it's a very poor cousin to the Melbourne International Comedy Festival. It's not a great festival. Like, I don't care. They don't like me anyway. They're not my vibe. It's pretty much just one. It's a comedy festival that invites people from one management group. Oh, they don't even invite, they just produce it. And it's just not my world. I mean, I would love to play at the Enmore Theatre, but I think they own the Enmore Theatre, which kind of like does me slagging off the Sydney Comedy Festival probably definitely ends my ability to perform at the Enmore Theatre. That's all right, I'll perform at the Sydney Opera House, which is better. Anyway, so... yeah, what's really annoying me though is there's comedy festival Sydney Comedy Festival posters around, and there are a couple of comedians, because you know, you guys know this about me, but you know, there's a few comedians out there. Comedians in general, not the nicest of people, right? And I'm one of them, just narcissists, if anything. And there's a few out there that, only a few that really, one in particular, really fucking annoys me. And I've been seeing their poster around a lot. Like, especially at moments I'm just driving along, I'm offended by the Chemist Warehouse font, you know, going through my stuff. Just thinking to myself, oh, what is this life? And then I'll see a poster for that person. I'll think, oh, fuck you. So I've been thinking about, like, getting some stickers made up to put on top of the posters. Just nothing too aggressive. Just something like, you're not particularly funny stickers over the top of their face on the posters. I guess if I do this in the future, you'll know who it is. But, yeah, I just think it'd be a fun thing to do. Oh, by the way, I'm going to start googly-eye bombing, which I'm very excited by. So on Temu, I've ordered a whole lot of giant googly eyes. There was a very funny George Ropingly Good, I think it is, on social media, was doing a lot of it, but I haven't seen them lately. And pretty much it looks like I'm nicking your idea, but I don't want to be. I just really love, I love googly eyes. Oh, pardon me, that was a weird coffee burp. I'm going to start googly eye bombing things, which was kind of in Everything Everywhere All at Once. So it's not hiccup again. Sorry. It's not like I'm really. I mean, it's something that's out there in the ether. Oh, geez, I've got the hiccups now. It's something that's kind of just out there now. So it's kind of, it's in the zeitgeist, as they say. So I'm just going to start doing it. So I bought a whole lot of googly eyes and I'm looking forward to doing that. Anyway, yeah, sorry. Hey, by the way, Cat's got your tongue. Just, you know, because you know the niche topics. I'm going to do footnotes after this podcast, by the way, and go through it. My niche deep dive was going to be Cat's Got Your Tongue, but then I was like, oh, it must be a really great story, and it is. I'm just going to quickly tell you what it is. This is great, isn't it? I've always heard it, didn't know what it was. Some of you might know what it is, but guess what it is? The expression Cat's Got Your Tongue comes from, they say, this could be made up, ancient Egypt. Cat's Got Your Tongue. If you're a bad slave building the pyramids, like say you're like, hey, buddy, you work harder on the pyramid, and say you talk back to the pharaoh, and you're like, oh, fuck off, I've been bloody on this period all day. Pyramid, sorry, I'm on my period. Well, that would be the female slaves, and they'd be like, hey, work harder. No, I'm on my period, I've got my period, and I can't work on the pyramid too much. God damn it, what am I talking about? If you talk back to the pharaoh, they'd cut off your tongue. And you know how they really respected cats? They love cats in ancient Egypt. And they'd cut your tongue off and they'd give it to the cat. Because the cats were higher up than the slaves. So you were whinging and they cut your tongue out, feed it to the cat. And the cat would eat your tongue in front of you. And you can't even say anything. You'd be like, upset because the cat's got your tongue. Anyway, so that's where the expression comes from. As for being a female slave and you have your period and you're building a pyramid, that's just a play on words. What am I talking about? I've just got imagery of Toblerones because they're little pyramids as well. I wonder if, like... Anyway, no, I'm not going to go there. I'm just thinking about, like... Because I guess... I know enough about, like, women when they do get their period... that they crave comfort, like cauliflower cheese, or just like, ow, my tummy hurts. I should know more in detail about that, but I don't. I have an aphrodisiac, I understand that. And they do say things like you become more emotional, but I'm not going to say that because I don't know that and I've never really experienced that. But having a chocolate, so I guess you could have like a mini Toblerone, which is a tiny little pyramid when you got your period. There you go. That should be the new campaign for Toblerone, in fact. Hey, you feeling like, you know, make yourself feel a little bit better, have an aphrodisiac, have a Toblerone, have a mini pyramid, you've got your period. All right, should probably stop it there. I don't know whether that's funny or not. oh, I got a job interview, by the way, later on today. So looking forward to that. I'm not going to tell you what it is or what it's for. I don't even know whether I'll take the job, but I've got one. So I'm kind of looking forward to that. Going to have a shave. I don't have to wear anything like, you know, I don't have to like put on a suit. I have to look respectable though. So I'm looking forward to that. So I hope, I'll be able to fill you in next week as to how I went, with that job interview. Let me look at my little cheat sheet here of what's been going on. Oh, that was the other thing I was going to do. By the way, I watched Meet Me in St. Louis fully. I'm going on this dive with Luna at the moment of watching really old films and musicals and stuff. Judy Garland in Meet Me in St. Louis. Oh my God, it brought out my inner gay man. And I don't mean that to be offensive, but my brother would understand that. But Judy Garland, God damn, she's wonderful. There's a reason why the old gays love her. She's very camp. Methamphetamined out of her brain. Singing these songs, bang, clang, clang, clang goes a trolley. Anyway, wonderful film. My daughter loved it. I'm not all the way through, got a bit bored. But the singing and the bonfire scene with the children, absolutely wonderful. So it was a Halloween scene with a whole lot of children throwing things onto a bonfire, which is what Halloween used to be, which was, you know, in these days of occupational health and safety and child safety and not going up in buildings in Tokyo because you're afraid for your child. It was quite refreshing to watch children just left alone with a bonfire back in the day as they were. Give them a bit of risk. Let them fall over and bang their head. It's fine. Go up. Take risks. It's okay. What else have I got here? Is there anything else? Oh, that was the other thing. I don't know how I'm going to get any feedback from you because I'm not reading any emails and stuff, but I'm thinking about using my green screen for social media to reenact I've got a whole lot of wigs in my life because I'm a bald man. I'm thinking about reenacting the entire film Con Air, starring Nicolas Cage, bit by bit, using wigs and a green screen just for my own enjoyment, and then releasing it on social media in small tidbits. So, look, as to whether that happens or not, I don't know, but it's such a wonderfully ridiculous film. It's a masterful film. I think it's definitely late 1990s. John Cusack, Nicolas Cage, Dave Chappelle's got a small role in it. It's brilliant. So I'm thinking about reenacting that with wigs for fun. Anyway, so that's my life. That's my week. That's my podcast. This was Nisha's Quiche. I hope you enjoyed it. Hang around. There's going to be some footnotes in a minute, which is an idea I stole off Louis Theroux, which I really liked, listening to his podcast. And I'll fill you in at some little things after I go to school, do Mothers and Loved Ones Day, making craft, and I'll come back, listen to the podcast, make some footnotes about what I was talking about. All right, I love you. I hope you're good. You can still send me messages if you want, and I'll get back to them at some point in the future. But at the moment, 100 days off social media, keeping technology out of my head. We'll see how it goes. Love you very much. I hope you're all doing well in your lives. I hope this brought you some semblance of joy. And yeah, I'll speak to you next week. All right. Bye. Okay. These are footnotes. So if my sister-in-law does, in fact, ever listen, she would never listen to this, but I understand. I understand. You've got a new baby. And the thoughts of it makes me question why you go to Tokyo for a holiday, but I can understand your fear in going in skyscrapers in Tokyo in case of an earthquake. I get that, and I don't think you're crazy. I tell you got a kid. I get it. So I love you. That's just in case there's any stuff there. To the Sydney Comedy Festival, I still think you're a poor version of the Melbourne International Comedy Festival, but good on you for giving artists a voice and letting them muck around and play. So I'm sorry if I upset or hurt anybody there. George, I think you're wonderful. I miss you. I miss you as a friend. You're such a lovely man. And in the early days of Ronnie Cheng, I hung out with George quite a bit, and I miss you. Anyway, what else did I have to... Oh, yes, if you're interested in the cauliflower cheese recipe, basically, you bake the cauliflower first, is the way. So you draw the moisture out of it. Don't boil or parboil or steam the cauliflower before you add it, because you can't put raw cauliflower into a cauliflower cheese. It won't bake properly. But if you bake it dry first with just a bit of oil on top, that's the way to do it. And then just very lightly steam your broccoli to put in it. Then make a bechamel. Bechamel is basic, so it's just butter, plain flour and milk until it gets to a nice consistency. I love to add parmesan cheese to that to really richen it up. And then blobs of cheese throughout when you assemble it in your baking tray. Blobs of cheese in there to kind of melt through it. And you get little flavor bombs of blue cheese or whatever it is you want. So that's that. What else did I have in there? Anything else I had to really point out? Oh, I watched Meet Me in St. Louis on YouTube. I had to buy it as a rental. Really interesting. A lot of old films just don't exist anywhere. And I'd rather give them money than maybe Amazon. I don't know. It definitely wasn't on Apple. And I think that's about it. Yeah, don't waste your money on Temu. Don't go on Temu. I think it's a really bad thing. That's a genuine footnote. I'm not trying to push you toward Temu. Unless Temu, you'd like to give me money to promote you, and then I'll happily do that, but you're not going to. To millennials, yep, you're awful. That's the only footnote I've got on that one. All of you, I'm going to generalize like you do and have no empathy, just like you do here, when it comes to what's right and wrong. And I'm going to say that all millennials are awful people and see how you feel about that, as you do to people. And the way you point at them and pick on them and deride them. So, they're my footnotes. I think that's all of it. Is that all of it? Is there anything else I said in there that was offensive at all? No, once again, millennials, you're awful people. All right. Well, there you go. Thank you. That's your footnotes. Speak to you next week. Bye. Oh, no. Actually, there's going to be a song at the end of this. This will be an old song that's out of date. that I've discovered on a website that I can get these songs, and it just something to listen to and just for you to think to yourself, oh yeah, people have lived here before. And also just be nice to everyone while you're out there at the moment. We're all doing this for the first time. We're all people for the first time, humans existing. None of us are experts at this, so don't be so quick to judge millennials. Be nice, be kind. Yeah, so look, this song, I don't know what it is that I'm putting in here, but it's going to be some really old song from the olden days. Yeah, just think to yourself, oh, wow, this song's over 80 years old or whatever it is. And it's kind of cool. It's got a melody. There's something going on. Oh, yeah, that's right. People existed before me. It's not just about me and my life just wandering around just thinking I'm better than everyone. So just be kind to everyone around you. And remember, this is their first time doing this as well. Everybody. And your parents. That was their first time being a parent. Don't judge them for fucking it up. They didn't know. Forgive a little bit. I have. So from 1931, this is Leonard Joy. This song, I don't know what it means, but it's you know, it's got it's going on. It's called Boy Oh Boy Oh Boy Oh Boy I've Got It Bad. I'm not making that up. That's what it is. This is Leonard Joy, 1931. See, things have been done before you. Get over yourself.
Boy oh boy oh boy oh boy. Like the case that once took place with mother and dad. Boy, oh boy, oh boy, I've got it bad. We'll be right back.